By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and first persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, Hebrews is talking to us about the heroes of faith. In chapter 11, not only is it the chapter of faith, but it's the chapter of the heroes of faith. And they had the promise of God. And so, by faith, they followed God and they did what God told them to do. Now, they didn't look at their circumstances, what they were in, what was going on at the time. They just kept looking forward. They were moving by faith. They had faith in what God had said. Now, along with that faith, though, we have to see that not only did they have faith, they had perseverance. So let's just read on just a little bit, and we're going to read some more of this because it's all pertaining to what we want to talk about. In verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, I wanted to show you that they kept traveling, their faith pursued because they believed God, they had perseverance. But see, all that would come to completion, not just in them reaching their promised land, but in completion in us also being able to receive the same promises that they received through faith in Abraham. You see, they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And guess what we're looking for? We're looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. And so they were molding a way for you and I. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, Jesus making a way for us. Now, we are, just like they did, we are molding a way for the generations that follow us, should Jesus tarry. Should He not come, you and I are molding a way. Now, let me ask you something. What will that look like? I want you to think about this some now. You know, will it be considered a faith chapter in God's book? Or will it be a pictures of those who died off in the desert one by one until that generation was gone and there was a generation willing to believe that God would do what He said He would do? Are we leaving something for our generations coming after us to follow? You know, Galatians tells us, and we'll go there just in a minute, Galatians chapter 3. If you want to, we'll go over there. But it talks about the fact that the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. And I'll show it to you here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Notice this. Now, as God was using these Old Testament saints, and they were making a way for you and I, it was recorded in the Old Testament. The law is there. And so the Bible says that the law was our schoolmaster. The Old Testament was our schoolmaster. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And what He was saying, I'm going to be a completion of the law. So the law and the Old Testament is a schoolmaster for us. Well, the word schoolmaster here, now in the Greek, it means a tutor or an instructor. Well, what's a tutor or an instructor do? Well, see, a tutor or an instructor, as you all know, they instruct us in what is right and also in what is not right, in what to do and what not to do. Isn't that right? If you have a good tutor, not only will they instruct you in the things you should do and the things that are right, but they'll also instruct you in the things that you shouldn't do and the things that are not right. Right? Anybody ever bought an electronic appliance? You start to read through how to operate it. Maybe it's something that you're not familiar with. If you read through their instruction book, what's the first 5 or 6 pages? Right? Don't get near water. It's all the don'ts. Right? Don't do any. Now, some of it you're just like, duh, you know, but not, you know. When they have to put on, you know, Tide Pods, do not eat these, then, you know, you got to realize that there's people out there that just does that, you know. When they get coffee and they have to put on the side of caution, this is hot. You know, though, I mean, it's just a society we live in now. But a tutor will instruct you in both what's not to do and what to do. If we look at the examples in the Old Testament, we see many things that please God, and then we see many things that they did that did not please God. And so that's why it's called a schoolmaster. But here's what I want you to think about now. If we are the tutor to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, what will their future be if they follow in our footsteps? I really want us to think about this. Think about this. Our kids imitate us. And we're leaving our testimony as a schoolmaster for our children. And so we have to look and see what's happening. Now, it's hard for people to break tradition and mindsets. I get that. I understand that. But here's the thing. Tradition and mindsets are usually established through actions, right? And so, therefore, they must be broken through actions. You know, and if you break a tradition, it seems like there's going to become a lot of persecution with that. Everybody here just about, as people that have broke tradition in the religious realm when we decided we wanted to go after God and believe God for everything. Brother Charles and I were talking about how, and it's, we're not on TV, so is it all right if I mention your little conflict there? Is that okay? Would you? Okay. Most of you probably don't know her anyway, but Brother Charles's sister got angry with him because she made the comment, well, now you can't do nothing about the weather. And of course, Charles knows better because he's been taught from the Word, and so when he started giving scriptures for that, she got angry with him, you know, and didn't want to talk to him for a day or two. You know, I mentioned with a friend of mine that I fished with some. He made the same comment about not being able to do anything about the weather. And I said, no, I'm sorry. I beg to differ. He said, I know you said we can't do nothing about the weather. And I said, well, you know, here's the thing. I said, you have to look at the Word of God. And I said, the Bible says we're the children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. If we're heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got the same Spirit in us that Jesus had in us, in Him. And He got out and rebuked the sea and the winds, and they calmed. And I said, now here's the thing about that. I said, if that was from God, then He rebuked the Father. But I said, it wasn't from God. It was from the enemy trying to destroy Him. And I reminded him that this time of year, all the storms that was going on are not normal. Thunderstorms in February, they've happened, but they're not normal. They're not the norm. So that tells me that we have an enemy that was at play there, because this thing killed, right? It stole, and it's destroyed. And so we know it's of the enemy. And so when we spoke to this thing, and you know, you can believe what you want to, but I'm going to just tell you, my creek didn't come out of the bank. Amen. I was talking to him earlier about that. Every time it'd start raining hard, I'd say, rain. You cannot cause that creek to get out of the bank, because it can't get out of the bank. And it would calm down and the water would go back down, you know. Then after a while it might start again. I'd do the same thing. Come on. You see, I just love Jesus enough and believe His Word enough to believe that. Now, you can call me a kook if you want to, but I decided to break tradition. I'm not just going to go along with what everybody else thinks and what the world thinks. I'm going to go with what the Word of God says. See, if we're going to break tradition and break mindset, if we're going to start laying down the right foundation for our kids, because we are their schoolmaster, we've got to get away from religion and what's popular with the world. I don't care how many trophies your kids win. I don't care what kind of accomplishments they make here on this earth. If they're not following Jesus with all their heart, then you're missing it. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but you're missing it. They're missing it. Now, I understand when they get to be adults, they've got their own free will. They can do what they want to. But we have to look and understand that they are watching what we do. And they're seeing our example. So right now, we're molding into them what they're going to do. If it's folks that don't attend church, guess what their kids is not going to do. We've got folks that are members here, and I don't know the names of their kids. You know why I don't know the names of their kids? Because they've not been here enough for me to learn their names. Now, you think about that for just a minute. And that person is molding, or those people are molding, the future for their kids. Because if their kids see that church is not important to mom and dad, then it's going to be even less important to them. If it's not a priority to mom and dad, it sure won't be a priority to them. And so we have to look at this and understand what we're doing. We have to look at it and say, you know what, God, I want to make sure that I'm the person that's going to establish good roads for my kids. I'm going to break tradition. I'm going to be a good tutor, and I'm going to make sure that I give them something good that they can follow. Look over here in Genesis chapter 18 with me real quickly. This goes right along with where we're at here. Genesis chapter 18. In verse 17, Genesis 17, it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now, I want you to look at what he's saying here. It says that the Lord, first of all, says, "I know him." Think of, now, you've got to understand something, folks. Abraham was not a born-again Christian with the Spirit of God on the inside of him. He was an Old Testament saint that believed God without being inhabited by the Holy Spirit. He just believed what God said. Okay? But apparently he was such a man of faith that God says, "I know him." Aren't you glad God knows you? Come on now. But he didn't stop there. He says, if you look at it, "I know him that he will command." Right, just underline that in your Bible right there. "He will command his children and his household after him that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Notice that. He said, "I know him. He'll command his children to do it." Now I want to kind of get off on that trail if I can for just a little bit. Notice he says, "I know Abraham. He'll command his children." Well, see, what you have to understand is Abraham's blessing would come upon his children because of Abraham. Do you hear what I'm saying? Their blessing would be dependent on whether they followed in the footsteps of Abraham. The blessing was to Abraham and his seed. Well, his seed is Jesus Christ. Okay? So he's saying, "I know that he'll command his children." You know, we're living in a society now where the parents don't command the children command the parents. Now, I'm not talking about everybody. Most of you all are doing what you're supposed to do with your kids. But I'm talking about the society as a whole. And a lot of church folk, too. Because, you know, a lot of church folk will say things like this. "Well, now, you know, they're getting up now. They're a teenager now, you know. And I just can't do a thing in the world with them." Listen, we've never lived in a better time for you to do something with your teenager. We've never lived in a better... Now, when we were teenagers, what kept us in line was a switch or a belt or a tobacco stick or whatever else they could get a hold of. And so they kept the fear of God in us all the time because we knew what was coming when we messed up. Didn't keep us from messing up. But we're still alive and here today. One particular time, I don't know why the one time is, because I did plenty. But one particular time, I can remember my mama following me up the road because I'd stayed out too late. And she had a little switch. And she walked me all the way back down the road. And every time I'd slow up, she'd hit me with that switch again. And she walked me all the way home, quarreling at me. You know, I'd rather have had the switch has been quarreled at. My mama was a quarreler. You know, she could just lay it on you. Okay? But that was our deterrent. But now, see, here's the thing today, folks. You have to understand, when we talk about commanding our children, it's amazing that we make children go to school, but we don't make them go to church. "Well, I wouldn't want to make them go to church." Are you kidding me? But you'll make them go to school. where they're under all the other bad influences, but you won't make them go somewhere where they can be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, it's just hard to make a child do anything. Again, it's the greatest time. You know why? They living under your roof. Number one. They living under your roof. Therefore, they have to live by your rules. See, I know this don't go over big, but it's the truth anyway. You have control over every aspect of their life. I've told this before, but it's still funny. I still think about it and laugh sometime. When Stephanie and Matthew were small, we spent a lot of time together with Tim Vernana, and we were just everywhere all the time. And he would come down and she would go up. Matthew was down there one day, and they were just little, you know, and Pastorette fixed she fixed what we'd eat at home. You know, she had a cooked meal, fried potatoes and cornbread, and just, I don't remember what all else was there, but I remember we sat down at the table and Matthew sat down there and looked around just like this right here. I won't eat a thing on this table. That's what he said. I looked at him. I said, if you was my son, you'd eat what was put before you. He just kind of sulled up and started eating. You know, he's been eating potatoes ever since. Loves them now. You know what? They didn't make him eat it. Because Matthew was one of them that wanted to eat sweets and whatever, you know, all that other. He wanted snacks. My mom would hide him cakes back at school for lunch and give him a cake. Okay? But you see, you have control over that in your house. Okay? You control what they eat. Okay? So you've got some control. Mom, where's the cookies at like we had? You want some more of them cookies, you start doing what I say. Oh, I know that sounds so mean. You know. Well, I'm not going to go to church. Well, that's fine. Give me your phone. Right? You have control over Wi-Fi in your house. Come on, see. You got to be smart. You know. That's their life now. That's their lifeblood, communications and that kind of thing. You have the power to cut that off. And I promise you, you start doing some of that and you'll watch them start jumping in line. You're the one that gives them money because they don't work. And the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat, right? But for kids, I mean, there are kids, there are responsibility. But here's the thing. When you cut the money off, then they can't do nothing. Don't get mad at me now because I'm preaching good here. I'm just trying to show you that if we want to get our kids lined up and be a tutor to them, a schoolmaster to them, then we need to teach them what's right. Number one is respect to you as their parent. And again, you have the same leverages to teach them and show them that you're in command. And then, you know, there's a chance that they could look you right in the face and say, I hate you. I've heard it said from children in this congregation to some parents in this congregation. I hate you. No problem. That's just another month your phone's gone. I'll give you a reason to hate me. Come on, so you don't let them bully you. You don't let them intimidate you. You show them, hey, this is the way this house operates. We're gonna be raised up in the admonition of the Lord, and we're gonna follow the Lord, and you're gonna follow me as I follow God. So come Sunday morning, you're going to church. If I have to drag your butt in there and throw you down in a pew. Come on. You say, well, I don't know what good that'll do. Well, you drag them to school. But at least when they're here, God can get a hold of them. Right? Come on. You know, you get them here. And here's an important thing to understand. You know, is this. When you bring them here and they're grounded and they don't have their phone and their kids, their friends, they get around and start talking about doing this and doing that and they don't know what they're talking about because they ain't been in communication. Another incentive for them to toe the line and do what they're supposed to do. And I know it sounds like it's cruel, but you know, I mean, the truth is, the Bible example is probably the best. He said, you'll beat you rob with a child and it'll not hurt them. Whipping. Come on now. It worked for us. Kept us in line. You know. Come on. You see, so when we start talking about this, the best way for us to make sure, and I know that there should be a whole lot of people here hearing this, but it don't matter. You like I said, you'll know it. We need to understand that the way we're teaching our kids, the way we're tutoring our kids, the way we're raising our kids is going to be the example for them. How many of you remember some of the things that your parents did when you messed up? Most of us do, right? Because you don't forget those things. You know, you just didn't. I mean, I was smart enough to know I didn't want to do enough to make my daddy have to whip me. And mom, she was a little bit more lenient and hers didn't hurt as bad. But I didn't want to make my dad mad. Right? Because that belt would come off there and you sound like a hurricane coming through there. Whoosh! And the next thing you know, it's beating on you. And you know, that's the thing about, I don't know about y'all's parents, but my parents, when they was mad and whipping, they just, wherever they could catch you, because you was trying to get away from them. And so you'd get it across the head, across the face, across the back, across the butt, across the legs. Right? Come on. And it didn't do no good for you to do that fake cry. Anybody ever try that? Any of you ever try that? Come on. Thank you for being honest, Sister Paula. Sometimes you just cry and try, you think you could just, you know, they'd quit because of that. Mm-mm. Not until they got it out of them. You know. But if you'd done something, then you probably deserved every, I know I deserved every time I got it, you know. Maybe not the time I peed in his moonshine. I mean, you know, that was probably one of my worst whippings, but you know, that to me that wasn't the worst offense that I'd probably done, but it was for him it was, because probably hard to come by and probably cost a lot, you know. But hey, I was in the basement about to pee and there was a jar there, okay? It looked like water to me. I didn't know the difference. So but my dad knew the difference when he saw it afterwards, okay? So what I'm trying to say is if we want the blessings of God on our kids, then we have to get them following after God just like we follow after God, because the only reason you and I are blessed is because of Abraham. Because we're Christ. So if we want our kids to be blessed like we're blessed, then we need to make sure that they're following Christ in every aspect. I mean, again, you've heard Stephanie talking about it. From the time she was old enough to understand, when she got money, we taught her, you want to be blessed, you give. Somebody gives you money, you get money for a birthday, you get money for this or get money for that. The tithe belongs to the Lord. There just was no question about it. Why? Because we had learned how to be blessed and how to get blessed. Now, at the time we were doing this, I'm not going to tell you that we had any money, okay? No, not at all. I mean, you know, we just like everybody else. We was going from check to check, and if we had a hardship, we was in a hardship then, you know. But it didn't keep us from believing the Word. Did you notice that it says, by faith, they all did these things, not having received the promise yet, but they looked toward it. You know, I thank God we've been able to live long enough now that we've watched how our finances have turned around. Still not wealthy people by any means at all. But at least now, if we see something on Amazon, we can buy it without worrying if we're going to pay a bill or not. Come on. Wealth is different things for different people. For me, if I can have the things that I want, you know, I'm not talking about a big elaborate stuff, but just, it didn't take a whole lot for me because I'm not after all those big things. I mean, there's people who wants the mansions and all this and stuff. I just want to enjoy my life. I want to make sure God's first in my life, and I want to make sure that I can have the things that I want to enjoy what time I get to spend in the world doing things, fishing, hunting, whatever it is. And you're all the same way. You want to be able to go shopping, and if you see a nice dress, ladies, you want to be able to say, I want that, and just go ahead and get it. And not have to know that God's taking care of you to be able to do that. You know, now that don't mean you can walk in and see a $1 million ring and say, I want that, and But, you know, if that's what you want, God provide that too. But I'm just saying, you know, I found out, you know, when the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll grant you the desires of your heart. I found out when I just really fell in love with Jesus, the desires of my heart really changed. And the things that I thought would be so awesome, it's to me now, I don't even think about it. It's not something that's even a desire now. Because I desire Him more than anything else, number one. I'll be honest with you, Pastor Rhett and I are at the point in our lives that our greatest desire is to see people come to church and get their lives changed. Because we know it took us so long to find the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, and start operating in it, that now we want to see people do it early. And what breaks our hearts is at these younger generations that are really not interested in it at all. Now, we didn't know any better. Whether we would have or not, I don't know, but I believe so. I believe when we started hearing, because we didn't get preached to us. It wasn't told to us when you give, it'd be given to you. That wasn't told to us. We weren't taught that. We were just taught that you just went and put money in, you know, because just all you was doing is just trying to pay the church bills. And that is part of it. But we weren't taught the blessing of giving. We weren't taught that God wanted you healed, and as far as He was concerned, you were already healed. See, we need to make sure our children are understanding that. Thank God for doctors. I'm an advocate of doctors. I believe God uses doctors all the time. If not, we'd all be dead. Right? Come on. And, you know, I'll stand here before you and say, if it hadn't been for doctors, I would be dead right now. And it wasn't God's fault. He never forced a thing down my throat. Right? He didn't force sweets down my throat. Matter of fact, He gave me His Word and told me things in there that are healthy for you. I made my own choices. But I thank God that He used a doctor to save my life. And I give Him glory for it. I still give Him the credit for my healing. The whole thing was God when I look at it. But we need to make sure our children understand these things. So that they know, even if you go to the doctor, you've got to understand that God gave that doctor the knowledge to do what He did. Amen. And help them to understand to give God glory for everything they do. And I'm afraid that we have so many people in the world today, and especially in the church, that they're wanting to give more honor to the world. Come on, I can look at organizations like the Masons, you know, which is a cultic thing. And of course, it makes people mad, you know, because there's a lot of people in church that are in these organizations and stuff. But I've read up on it. I've studied up on it. Ain't nothing holy about it. Matter of fact, it's basically a mockery of God and a mockery of church. You know, but they I don't know why they can't see that. Probably because their eyes are blinded to it. But I see that, and I see people more faithful to an organization like that than they are to their church. I see parents in our church that are more faithful to football, basketball, anything else. They're more faithful to that than they are to their church. They can take their kid four nights a week to practice or a game, but they can't make Wednesday night church. Come on now. They can get up early and travel with the team to go somewhere in another county that takes 3 or 4 hours, stay 2 or 3 nights there, but they can't get up on Sunday morning and make it to church. What kind of schoolmaster are they being to their kids? Amen. I applaud Jeremy and Tina. I mean, you know, Colin invited his friend over. They sit up all night long. They sit up all night. Kids do that, right? I mean, you know, that's Lillian does it. Her and Jenna sits up all night, and the next day, but usually it's not a church day the next day. This just happened to be Saturday night, and the next day Sunday. Well, if you'd have paid any attention to him the next morning, he was here. But man, he was in bad, bad shape. But I applaud them because basically what they said, hey, if you can set up and play, you can get up and go to church. Amen. And see, that's setting an example. That he won't forget that. And it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he don't start inviting his friend on Friday night instead of Saturday night. You know, just so they can sleep in on Saturday, okay? But I'm just saying all this so that we understand that, you know, these are things that are just common sense, but it seems like, just like the world, the church has lost its common sense. The things that ought not even have to be mentioned are having to be mentioned again and having to be told again. You know, the same as, you know, common sense that, you know, a man belongs in a man's bathroom, a woman belongs in a woman's bathroom, how common sense that is. Well, you know, the same common sense applies in the church that on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or whenever your church is having church, a Christian belongs in the church. That's their place. That's where they ought to be. Not their priority should not be a place in the world, but a place in the church. Amen. It's true. And so we have to look at these things and we have to see what is it that we're doing for our kids or against our kids. We can be hurting them actually. But you know, here's the good news, and I'm going to close here just in a second. It's not too late to get back on the right path. It's not too late to start leaving a real good road for those that are behind us to follow. Jeremiah 6:16 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." We need to make sure that we're leaving a legacy. We're being a schoolmaster that those who follow us will find peace, they'll find rest, and they'll find the right way, and they can say, "Man, I'm sure glad that they lived this way so I could follow their example." And we'll lead them in the way they should go. And the Bible says, especially of kids, when we raise up our kids in the way they should go, when they get old, they won't depart from it. It's our responsibility to be a schoolmaster so that people can follow us, to be a tutor that people want to follow. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to help us, Lord, that we will be the schoolmasters that we should be, the tutors we should be, the instructors we should be, the parents we should be, the grandparents that we should be, to teach our children and to teach those that are coming up behind us, to pave a way for them to see and know that you've got to come first in everything, in all of our life. And Father, as we do that, not only are we going to be blessed, but our children will be blessed, and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and those that come behind us will be blessed because of the blessings upon us. Thank you, Father God. If the curse can pass down through generations, so can the blessing. And so we just thank you tonight, Father God, that you've given us a willing mind, a willing heart to follow after you and put you first and be an example of the believer to a lost and dying world and to our families. And you'll get the glory out of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody need us to pray with you before we get ready to leave? All right, lift up your hands. Father, I thank you, Lord. I bless every person that's here. I thank you, Lord God, they're blessed coming in. They're blessed going out. They're blessed in the cities and in the fields. Thank you, Father God, for opening up your good treasure and pouring out to them. Thank you, Father God, for their faithfulness to be here tonight. Now I thank you as they leave here, your supernatural protection is surrounding them, taking care of them, seeing them safely home. Father, we give you glory and praise for this night. And we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come into your house and worship you. In Jesus' name, and everybody receives that, say amen. Thank you all so much for coming tonight. I appreciate it so much.